You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 225.
Whoa.
My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Michael Kaplan, Miguel Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Buy my album, Turner Sparks, live from the Friars Club currently, or turn on the radio. It's on Sirius XM Radio.
Right turn now, on turn seven. On Sirius.
You'll hear me literally whatever time this is for you right now. I'll be on, I guarantee.
You know how the Beatles have a channel at Sirius? You got a channel too, the Turner channel.
Foo Fighters have a channel. Now we're getting a Turner Sparks channel.
They're running out of channels.
You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram, on
Twitter.
Twitter, on Facebook, on all types of social media, wherever you on. What's the new Trump one? You're going to be on that too.
I am. I've already talked to my people have contacted him. When he comes up with the app, I'm going to be like, what do you call that when you're there the first day? Ground floor? I don't
beta
know.
Beta tester.
I'm an investor, actually. I've seen money in that app.
On the show today, everybody, we have Minister Marco back from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, to talk about they legalized marijuana. Well, they're about to. They're on the edge of doing it, but it is going to happen. Everyone says the Senate's going to pass it. They're legalizing marijuana in Mexico, which has a lot of ramifications. I think for us up here, maybe in the U.S. Also for Mexico, obviously, we're going to talk to him in just a second about that. Minister Marco, you know, you love him from Amazon Prime, from Netflix. He has stand-up on both of those. Plus, you know, from this show, he was on, when we switched to this format, he was on one of the earliest episodes. I'll have to look up what number it is, but it was in the 180s, somewhere around there.
You want to guess? See if last, you know how you
did? I'm going to guess 187. Let's go with 187.
I'll look it up and we'll come back to it later.
As Kaplan's looking it up, folks, we know you like this show. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for telling your friends. Our numbers are going up and up every single week. But if you really want to support this show, put your money where your mouth is and go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. Patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5. Throw us $5 a month. Just for the joy of getting this show for free, right? Just for the joy of us putting this out. But also for $5 a month, we'll give you 3 extra episodes of just Kaplan and I talking about life in New York City. Kaplan's running for city council. Not only that, but also we throw in some bonus Lost in America shows sometimes. So 2 days ago, we had Misha Kalin back on the show, our friend in Belarus, to update us what's going on in their quest to kick President Lukashenko out of office.
Protests and are still going, and
it's insane. He's in Minsk. He said he can't leave his house. If he leaves his house, there's a very good chance he'll be taken into
interrogated
prison.
Or yeah. So he has, it's a scary situation, but we had a good time talking about it. So,
well, he's a great guy. He's also a hilarious comedian. So he can, his aunt got taken in by the authorities on her way to get chemotherapy. And he somehow figured out how to make that funny. So,
yeah, exactly. So come
listen
to
patreon.com. Patreon.com/lostinamerica. Kaplan. Now let's get to today's episode.
And let's answer the question. Episode 196 was Minister Marco's first appearance.
196.
Go check that out.
So go check out 196 and then come back to this. So Cap, we're talking about legalization of marijuana in Mexico. What do you know about it? And you start.
Well, for starters, as far as just smoking weed, and I always thought it was legal. I just assumed in Mexico, this was like, I assume like it's a thing that's illegal for Americans. Let's arrest Americans who are stupid enough to smoke on the street and make them shake down a police officer with a bribe. But I thought if you're a local, you just smoke weed. So that's number one. I did not know this was a new issue. I thought it was legal in much of the world. And number two, I'm a little scared because I just binge watched Narcos, the Mexico seasons on Netflix. So I'm a little bit terrified to like say anything about the cartels. So I might not. This might be the last time you hear me say it because I don't want to end up in a ditch somewhere. But I know they're legalizing it now. You were telling me that the Supreme Court actually did this. I thought it was like a way like they were copying Colorado, you know, like Colorado's legalizing weed. Every state in America is legalizing weed. They thought, oh, let's get in on that. But you're telling me it's deeper than that.
Why would they copy Colorado?
Because it's the coolest.
I don't follow
state in
the logic. I don't follow that logic at all.
They saw it on a headline. No, and there are lots of weed shops everywhere. It makes it life great. You have like it's good for the economy. It's good.
Okay,
to get
so you thought
there.
It was an economic thing.
An economic move. Yes.
I got it. Okay, that makes more sense. I will tell you. I thought it was something to try to. I thought it was more based off of like a reaction to the drug trade in Mexico. Like, hey, let's legalize it. So therefore we put the power back in the hands of the government. Turns out from what I can tell, it was neither one of these. It was some people in 2015 got it kicked off. Just some good old fashioned marijuana rights activists, just some hippies, got it into the Senate. So
it was just to say last thing, it's a homegrown, it's a product that they grow in Mexico. It's not like some drugs that come through the border, you know, so it's like they should legalize it. That's
let's bring Minister Marco in. As I said, you know, from Amazon Prime, Netflix, go check out his specials there. He's also, I think he is the wedding minister. He's not only is a stand-up comedian, but he's an actual minister, and he does celebrity weddings all the time, to the point where half of them, he says, I'm legally not allowed to tell you who I just did a wedding for. They're that famous, but he's still doing it. Minister Marco, welcome to the show. What did we get right? What did we get wrong?
Thank you.
Welcome
back. I'm having problems with my camera. It's attacking me. It's due to the marijuana.
You're getting an early jump on it already.
Jesus. There he goes. How you guys doing? Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
We're doing great. We're coming out of quarantine. I'm getting back on stage with comedy on May 5th at the Friars Club. I'll be doing stand-up, fully vaccinated. So.
Return to the Friars Club.
Yes.
Wow.
That was good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. You know, also passing this pandemic in Mexico has been tough, but we're also doing shows back again. I just came back from a really beautiful wedding. And I'm very happy to be here again. Congratulations on the success of the show, guys. Very good. Very good.
Can you tell us, to start out, can you tell us who the break news on our show? What is this wedding that you're contractually not allowed to say who it is?
Well, I was telling you earlier that I'm not in the liberty to say it because I signed a confidentiality agreement. But I can tell you this. I have to be clear by both governments so I could be the official of that wedding. And I mean Mexico and the U.S.
Wow.
So a big personality was getting married. And so, you'll find in the news very soon.
Trump, did Trump Jr. get Don Jr.?
Nah, you're not going to get any info out of me.
I'm trying to think of
you're very who got clever. Married. Both
we
of
should,
you, I know.
We'll do some research and see who got married in the past. Is the wedding known to the public? Do people know these people got married? Can we get that clue?
They will, I guess. Yeah.
Obama's daughter got married.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right, all right. All let's get to the week.
He'll say it on the Patreon show.
There we go. For $5 a month, you'll know. Minister Marco, so what's going on with this legalized marijuana? To us, this story came out of nowhere, but the more I researched it, it sounds like it's been building momentum since 2014, 15.
That is correct. And like Kaplan said, every pothead believes Mexico has legalized marijuana forever. Yes. But it's actually not true. Marijuana has been banned just like any other drug. But out of 2 years or 3 years, they started this bill where they wanted to legalize it. It went to the Chamber of Deputies first. And funny enough, like 80% of them approved it fast track. They didn't even wait the normal waiting period. And they just approved it. And they passed the bill to the Senate where they now have to revise it and then approve it. And once they approve it, it's going to be signed by the president. And once it's signed, that's legal. But there are some things that they need to consider before making it legal. So that's where the controversy is. That's where everybody's fighting and pulling on each direction.
So it started in 2015. It's from what I've read, it seems like this was not started by anyone in the government. This was started just by an activist group.
Exactly.
Regular
by
people.
Outside people. Exactly. Regular. It was a club of potheads.
Who said, just some Mexican hippies who were like, exactly. Hey, I want to smoke pot. And they took it to the government, to the Supreme Court. Sorry. And what's fascinating to me is the way it passed from what I read. Is they said I'll read the actual quote. It's unconstitutional.
This is what happened. But this group of potheads went outside the Chamber of Deputies, and they made like a overnight teepees, and they have everything so they can stay outside for as long as they could, and they started smoking pot outside on the sidewalk. And they got arrested. Pot. Exactly. They got arrested and arrested over and over until they just let them be. And so they placed their camping tents outside the Chamber of Deputies, and they stood there like for a year. They were
it's like a pot village for a
that's
year.
That's how much they wanted to make themselves heard. That's how strong their petition was. To legalize marijuana back then.
I mean, Turner would camp out for like Rancid tickets for like 3 days or something, a year.
So I found the quote I was looking for earlier. Sorry. The Supreme Court ruled Mexico's total cannabis ban is unconstitutional. The what they said was it because in Mexico, the law allows each individual to choose their own life plan as long as it does not affect others.
Exactly.
So, very libertarian. Not,
yes.
Yeah. As long as you don't kill anyone, you're okay to go. But obviously, there are some restrictions. You cannot do as you will.
Well, as long as you don't hurt others. Yeah, so that passed, that was 2015. But what I read said that also under the law of Mexico, whoever that law only applies to the people who actually took it to the Supreme Court. So that group of hippies mm-hmm. now could smoke. Uh-huh. But everybody else, no, couldn't, not yet.
Yeah, but here's the tricky part. When all the potheads around Mexico saw this group, this small group of people trying to legalize the marijuana, then this group grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you have the same situation in every single state in Mexico. So it went big. It went viral just from a group of like 12 people, I believe. It was like 12 or 15 guys. Now it's in the millions because everybody wants their marijuana to be legal.
If I'm in the group of 12 or 15 and it's literally only legal in the country for me and my other 11 friends.
Imagine that.
I would want to keep it illegal for everyone
like
else.
An actual cartel of pot smokers. Like you could just add members like just to your group.
So that's 2015. And then as you said, it goes viral, blah, blah, blah. It's bigger and bigger and bigger. By 2018, the Supreme Court said, okay, enough is enough. We can't be having all these little court cases around the nation for these 12 people, those 15 people, these six people.
Exactly.
So they just made it legal in 2018 for the whole country.
But it got political.
Yeah. So how does it get political?
Okay. This new party, So how strong buttheads were, you know, you could just in your city, in your hometown, you could tell who was a butthead and not, but they never imagined there were so many of them. So they used
the silent pothead majority.
Yeah. So they used it as a platform for future candidacy, for future politics, and now they use it as a platform. So if you vote for me, I will make sure your pot is legal.
Oh,
so that's when it got political, and now obviously it passed the fast track because it was so big, it made so much noise that everybody who voted for this. For this party, they're going to have their pot pretty much 100% assured to be free, legal.
Free? What do you mean?
Well,
free?
Legal. Well, you legal. Can actually grow it.
Okay, so you can grow your own.
You're free to grow your own. And we should also say that you're now, so when this hasn't passed yet, but it seems like it's going to pass.
It will pass. It's going to pass.
And you can now, you used to be able to carry 5 grams.
Exactly.
And now you can carry up to 28 grams, which I don't even know. Is that a lot or is that a little?
Let me put it in perspective. 5 grams is 5 little joints.
Okay.
5 little cigarettes about this big.
Yeah.
So 28
grams is 28 cigarettes, and that's per day.
That's not bad.
So you have to be a real butthead to smoke 28 of them per day.
So personal use, but also give out some. You have some to bum when your friends ask to bum a joint. You'll have a couple extras,
of course. But you know when you have over 2 kilos, which is about 5 pounds, then you're in for the bigger picture. Then you are the trafficker. You are the drug dealer. Obviously, you're gonna get busted. You're gonna go to jail because that's not for regular consumption. Unless you are Cheech and Chong, but other than that, you cannot have so much.
So do a lot of people grow it in their house? Is that a thing that people do already?
Okay, now here it is. Here's the thing. You can only have this much grams, 28 grams, but you're allowed to have 8 plants. 8. Now, they didn't specify how big these plants can be. So when some people think 8 plants is a little jar like this, and some people think 8 plants are like 8 trees. And that can count as a plant. So that's also another controversy because people really want to grow their own pot, their own marijuana at home.
It's very hipster to grow your own weed, not to buy it from someone. It's like
exactly. And they will not be allowed to sell it. Like if you grow your own marijuana, you are not allowed to sell to anyone. You can just trade it for anything. Like I'll give you a joint. You give me a kilo of tortillas or something like that. And that's another thing that they have to put like locks on the law, because it's just out there. It's like it was made by a hippie and it's a hippie law. So it's completely open.
That's hilarious. Right. So they haven't thought this out. So you can you could sell them like 5 joints or 10 joints or whatever you want. And they could give you like you could trade it for a magazine, but also
could they
tip you? Could they say, but I'll tip you $200.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You cannot get money though. That's the only thing lock they put. No money in exchange of marijuana. You can trade it for anything. So
Bitcoin.
I'll give you my wife for 5 grams.
Your wife? Yeah, you can go like Comcast or whoever runs your cable TV down there could say, well, it's either $300 or like 10 pot. I don't know. What, 10 joints?
Or one plant. Give me one plant a month and you get free cable for life.
Yeah, something like that. And so they also said if you have possession of 29 to 100 grams, it's now a fine.
Exactly. You're busted. And then the fines go up depending on the amount of the marijuana you have.
Yeah. So now my question is, if it's constitutional in 2018, why does it still have to go to the House and to the Senate? Is it to come up with the specific regulations?
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. The Chamber of Deputies, they left it so free will. it's just out there. You know, you can interpret that bill as any way you want. So every cop, every state will decide whether it's a good thing or not a good thing. So they need to put locks and regulate it. And they that's why it's taking a little bit longer. But it, that will go through. It will go through.
And it'll be national regulations, not state.
It will be national. Wow. There are a few things that I like that they want to do. The first is like you cannot smoke marijuana in front of kids. That's a good thing. You cannot buy it or buy the plants if you are under 18, which is legal age in Mexico, 18. And you cannot also smoke it in public. And not like only in designated areas. Like if you're a smoker and they send you out of the restaurant for a smoking place, that's where you can probably.
Can you open up a smoking like restaurant almost? Like a hot place?
Here's the thing. They wanna one of the regulations of that bill is that they want to build smoking clubs throughout the world, throughout Mexico. So you can be a part of these associations and nonprofit smoking clubs.
Right. I hear that. Trying that and you can smoke away.
And that's exactly. Another way to try to get around the paying for marijuana laws.
Exactly.
Because you're paying to join the club.
You're exactly. But then you're gonna be protected because you're part of a club and
it's just
bananas. I mean, that law is whoever made that law used to work for Looney Tunes or Warner Brothers, because it's stupid, you know.
So it
gives you everything so you can have your own marijuana. You can be a small El Chapo.
Home. Well, that's so the big question is, does this affect the drug powers in the country?
Nah, listen.
No.
Marijuana is not even profitable.
It's
used
so small,
to be.
Right.
Yeah. It used to be back in the 70s and late early 80s. The real money in drugs is synthetic drugs. You know,
opioids.
Coke and crack and all of that. But but marijuana, nobody fights for marijuana. It's like, I'm not going to kill you over a kilo of marijuana. No, here, you can have it.
Is that why this happened? Because the cartels would never let you legalize cocaine or meth or heroin. Obviously.
Exactly. Then it will hurt their business. But again, marijuana is not even big of a consumption as a drug. You know, right now it's more like a recreational drug. People use it as a way to feel good. When I don't smoke marijuana or do drugs, but when I see my friends and people who smoke marijuana, it's because they want to feel good. It's not because they want to go rob a bank, feel a little buzz and coke. Coke is different though. Coke or any other drugs, those are different because those are empowering the brain. Marijuana is just letting you be.
Yeah, if you want to rob a bank, do not smoke weed ahead of time.
No,
you will not go well.
Otherwise, you'll get caught.
Yeah.
You'll be walking really slow with bags of money.
Cracking up, yeah.
But. So you think if this was methamphetamines, for example, would that be a lot? Would that have a lot harder time being legalized?
Not only that, it will be a real drug war between the government and the narcos.
Okay,
but
because that's their main income.
Yeah, keep going.
The Supreme Court logic of this case, it's the same thing. You could say taking coke doesn't hurt anybody else. You know, it's the same as the logic about the weed. If I'm taking it, so
yeah, but the money,
yeah,
the money that a narco will lose when let's say cocaine bill is passed, it will be like so much more than marijuana. Marijuana is just a small game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And you know, I genuinely thought that when I read this headline, that this was a reaction like AMLO, President Lopez Obrador, saying that, oh, this is going to be good to fight the, just seeing the headline. I thought they're legalizing marijuana. This will be a step towards fighting the cartels. And then it turns out, no, it has nothing to do with it at all. And that makes
sense. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. It's, let's say, out of a pie. I will say 8% of the narcos income comes from marijuana, only like 8%. So if they take that away from the narcos, they're still going to be making a lot more money with the synthetic drugs.
And as long as there's places in America where it's illegal, they still can sell to them too. So it's not like, it's completely gone. I mean, I assumed most of the Mexican drugs in general come here, right? I mean, they don't.
Well, let me tell you something. Back in when everything started back in the 80s, Mexico just used to be like a passing port, like a passing place. Drugs would go through up to the to North America. But as of the 90s, late 90s, drugs actually happened to stay in Mexico. And that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing, period, to go up to North America or to stay in Mexico. And they used to come from, you know, South America, Central America. But now, not anymore, man. Now drugs are a big problem in Mexico.
See, I mentioned I was binging Narcos, but the show ends in like the mid-90s, so I didn't know that. But now I know what's happening next season.
But so, you know what? It's actually
because you used to grow tons of weed, and you had the seedless, and it was, and then it was like, then it just moved into cocaine and everything else, and we became.
It gradually went up. Yeah. It went from marijuana to cocaine, and then crack and amphetamines, and it used to go all the way to the U.S. and Canada, but now. A lot of those drugs are produced and they do stay in Mexico by consumption by Mexican, which is not a good thing. And it's not a good thing that goes to the U.S. either. But since the money comes from the U.S., everybody has more money in the U.S., that's the problem.
And
you guys have so much money.
We have money. And also, Turner, I don't know if you saw the other day, there was a senator in Montana in the U.S. who was basically complaining that he was saying that the methamphetamines that come from Mexico are too pure. Like he was saying the local meth.
Yes.
In Montana is much less pure, which I guess makes it safer and good for American jobs. So do you guys have better meth? Is that like what's is that?
They mastered it. I don't know. If you watch Narcos.
We don't know what we're doing.
If you watch Narcos, then you saw how they mastered the production, mass production of methamphetamines.
So I did read that 2/3 of Mexicans still do not approve of legalized marijuana.
Yeah, because for most people believe marijuana is the beginning of, it's like the gateway to the next drug.
Yep.
So for some people, marijuana is not just recreational. It's a way to enter into drugs. And as you know, it's gradual. If some people like marijuana, but they don't believe it's, you know, much of a hype, then they go to the next drug. And that's where the problem is. That's how America started with the problems. With drug problems. Yeah. They started with the marijuana back in the 70s, with the 60s and 70s, with the hippies and the love, all
the boomers.
Love and all of that.
The boomers were hip. Yeah, they were smoking weed and they got us all hooked on it.
Exactly. They got you into weed, but then you guys started making money and that's when you started getting consumption of cocaine and it went up.
So how, if 2/3 of the country doesn't support it, why is it passing so easily? I mean, in the U.S., the politicians do what their local people
want. Yeah, the Bill of Rights, etc. I know. In Mexico, remember, it's been owned by the politics now.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you don't like the law or the bill that is passing, they will let you know. But remember, this is part of our party, and you need to approve it because. If you like our party, then you have to agree with what we feel. So some people, even though they don't like it, they still vote for it because it's part of their party. And some people are just like, I remember I told you on the other episode that people are very fanatics when it comes to politics in Mexico, especially when it comes from López Obrador. They see López Obrador more like a religious leader more than a politician.
And is his base... people more in favor of legalizing weed then as a younger demographics or
but a good 70% is in pro of legalizing marijuana
of his base
correct
so his base is 70% in favor of it but the country-wise it's 2/3 against
so it's gonna be interesting but it's gonna pass because 90% of the senators are potheads so the
They're gonna
pass it.
Well, period. I did see there was one senator, or maybe she was a congresswoman, but she's been bringing like pot, like joints,
and
pot
she's plants rolling.
To the
she's
floor
rolling
of the
in
Senate.
Front of everybody.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
On the floor of the Senate.
It's nuts. I mean, you gotta have a limit, you know. You
during
have
a
to,
pandemic, she's
during
smoking
during voting sessions.
But Captain,
that's not good.
Can you think of anything, Cap, that in the U.S. where 2/3 of the people don't support it, but 90% of the Senate does? I mean, normally the Senate, it kind of just reflects.
I mean, it's almost like the reverse of like if there's like tax cuts for like rich people or something that's like, you know what I mean? Like they'll pass it even if it's not popular because they, But this is not that. This is a more populist thing, you think, to legalize weed. I mean, I think in America, I haven't looked at polls, but I do feel like the majority of people now support legalizing weed. That's why it's happening in all these states.
Sure.
Like when we were younger, like I can hear my dad saying it's a gateway drug. I felt like everyone in the older generation would be against it. And I think now a lot of them are, maybe they're not going to use it, of course, but they're okay with legalizing it for the same reason. It doesn't, you're not hurting anybody.
Tax dollars.
Taxes, the medical. Like exactly. So we're moving there in New York. We're copying. We're going to legalize it. So
yeah, New York's copying Mexico in that sense.
Yeah.
We're legalizing marijuana soon. So, do these people worry about getting reelected, or you said it just whatever, because they're in the right party, it doesn't matter. They'll just vote for them.
It doesn't matter about being reelected or not. It's going to go with the next votings, because once people remember who voted in pro of legalization, they'll say, oh yeah, you helped me. You have my joint. I'll help you in the polls and I'll vote for you. That's how it works. That's exactly how the party sells their votes. Remember, there are actually TV ads about all of that. Remember, I'm the one who's going to help you feel more comfortable.
Oh, really? They have TV ads? Politicians saying they'll get
legalized marijuana? Guys. Exactly. Remember, we did it for you. Now you did it for us.
That should be, I mean, Kaplan, that should be part of your city council.
I
can
legalize
campaign.
Something else. What should I legalize?
That's true. You got to go one step further because meth's already done.
Mexican meth, I'm legalizing.
So AMLO is President Lopez Obrador. Is he taking credit for all this?
No. He will have to sign the bill once it's passed. And here's the one thing that he hasn't made any call about it. He's not even pro or against. Because he doesn't have a call in it. He cannot say anything.
Well, what if he could veto it, or he could not sign it, but he wouldn't do that.
He could, but he won't, because the majority of the party is approving it. So it will be completely weird that his party will sign in favor and that he'll veto it. It is something that will never happen.
Huh. And is it normal for the Supreme Court to sort of set policy like this, where they rule on something and then they write policy afterwards to kind of catch up to what the Supreme Court said? Or
there has been like a few cases. I'll remember one, but there has been a few cases. One, it was about abortion, I believe. It was about abortion where they passed this law and they had to retract because the majority of people were against it. Yeah, I think it was abortion age. They wanted to, I remember they passed it for really young girls to be able to abort, but they move it up. They move the age. Yeah, that's what it was.
You mean without their parents' permission or?
Exactly. Or no, So it was just ridiculous. It was like 12-year-olds can go and abort anywhere, anytime you want. It's like, wait a minute. Like, you still need your guardian or an adult with her. And that's where they changed the law.
So, Minister Marco, I have some more questions about the people who are against this for other reasons. But before we get to that, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much. It's always good to have sponsors, Kaplan. Minister Marco, it seems like there are a number of people who are in favor of legalizing marijuana, but against this bill specifically in Mexico. And I'm interested in what the reasons are, but one of the reasons is that you will need some kind of a license.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. But who's to say what you're smoking? Is that, this is a funny thing, because if you're on the street smoking marijuana, and if you know how it smells, obviously you know that person smoking marijuana. But now there are similar odors or smells from another smoking devices like vapes that smells pretty similar to marijuana. And it's going to be a big deal if you think you're smoking marijuana and you call the cops on that person. It's going to be just crazy, because you don't know what the person will be smoking. So that's why it's a good thing that they legalize. I'm in pro of letting marijuana legalize, because that way it's not going to be so much of a problem within between NARCs and Mexican government, and people can do, you know, people can be, period. Marijuana is not a bad thing. It's not like a drug per se. Right. Aztecs used to smoke it just to feel good, and it wasn't a bad. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. They will just kill virgins. But
that's some good blowhard tidbits there.
The other
No, but really no. I don't think marijuana is bad. On the other hand, there are people who really suffer due to sickness, and they need marijuana to kind of go by.
Well, they say another downside of this bill is that it will allow the police to come into your house without a warrant.
No,
that's not true.
No, that's not true, because you need to have an order from a judge for police to go into your house. You need to have a warrant. So, no,
really?
There's no way. Oh, yeah. People do it illegally, though. But nowadays, everybody has a camera. Everybody can film. Everybody can be a witness. And now people are getting caught, whereas before they couldn't. The police before used to take excessive force, and they used to do all kinds of criminal activities because they had no one to witness it. But now anybody can be a witness, and cops are getting into jail when they break the law too. So it's not that easy anymore. They have to come with the warrant to search your house.
Really? And so this bill, because according to the New York Times, who we don't
trust. Fake news times.
We don't trust them, but they say that that police now, if you're growing marijuana, they won't need a bill. They won't need a warrant. They can just come in and say, oh, we're just checking your license, checking to see.
No. The same thing happened with taxes. Many years ago, IRS, Mexican IRS, was supposed to come into your house and, you know, take stuff from you if you didn't pay your taxes. But now they still need a warrant, even if they're going to do that. Even if they're going to take things from your house so you can pay, now they still need a warrant. So it's not that easy. Nobody can break into your house just like that.
Okay.
Unless somebody calls and there's a murder or it's been a shooting.
Yeah.
But if somebody just knocks on your door and they want to come in, you cannot let them in.
And what about are big businesses going to come in now? Does it seem like to start growing? Are they? Yeah. Can they even do it under the law?
Of course, they will, because now they're going to have. Remember those clubs that I was telling you about?
Yes, the cannabis clubs. Yeah,
people are going to form cannabis clubs, and people will join to be a part of their cannabis, and they can grow, trade, buy. They can do anything in those clubs. And I think, honestly, I think the narcs are going to be the owners of those clubs at the end of the day. They're going to be the ones who are going to run that operation.
But yeah, they know how to do it. If you can only have a small amount per person, then how do they grow a lot of weed?
Oh, man, Mexico has such a...
They can find loopholes.
They have such many places to grow weed.
No, but I mean, like, legally. How can they grow it legally?
But listen, they've been growing it under the radar. Now that they have some kind of a permission, they're going to grow it everywhere.
They could find a field somewhere and say 100 people live in this like warehouse. And then just,
exactly.
That's and eight plants 100. Per 100. Yeah, that's 800 exactly. plants.
And remember, the law is tricky. It's eight plants. How big? We don't know. So you could have a field and say, oh, yeah, those are eight plants. And all of those are their little.
Do you think the law is vague like that on purpose?
Of course. Of course. Of course, because if you really want to have a regulator, you could have the sizes of the plant, and that's not hard to determine. You could say this high, this wide, and times eight. That's what you're allowed. But it's so vague that, yeah, you can have eight plants at your house.
I see.
Who's to call what's the size of the plant? And now Mexico is going to be the third country in America, in all America, the continent, to have legalized marijuana. Canada and Uruguay are the ones who are legal.
Federalized.
Well, and Mexico will be the biggest, 120 million people.
Right? Imagine that.
120 million people. I mean, just
I was
going
to go to Canada for it. Yeah, why go to Canada now? You go to Mexico.
Well, you can come to Cabo and while you have fun, maybe have some marijuana.
And your spring break is going to get even more. The kids are going to be even more annoying on spring break now.
Nah, you know what?
Stoned.
I am not in pro of drugs, honestly. Even if you like cannabis, even if you like marijuana, I think that's a very personal thing. But I don't think marijuana should be sold or any other drugs, because it's not good for anybody, for those who consume it and for those who grow it. And it's good business, obviously. But at the end of the day, people do crazy, stupid stuff under the drugs.
Yeah. What about prisons? What will this do for... Is the prison system in Mexico privately owned or owned by the government?
No, by the government.
Okay. Like normal country. Yeah.
Like normal country, yes.
Ours is private. Or some of them, maybe.
Oh, no. Ours is owned by the... Most of them are owned by the government.
We still have some private, do we not?
I don't know how
that works. Movies, probably.
No, we still have private prisons. Maybe they're finally done.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that. We need an American comedian to teach us about that.
I think I know. I am the comedian. Right, there are private prisons. Us. You just said there aren't any.
I mean, most of our major prisons are.
Now
owned
you're
by
saying
the government.
We don't know. I'm the one who knows.
That's such a great premise for a killer punchline.
Jesus, Kaplan goes. We don't know. I'm like, I'm the one who. Okay, all so is this going to affect prison? There'll be less prisoners, I would imagine, after this, right?
No. It will be the same amount of prisoners, but now they're going to be smoking weed inside the prison.
Well, I mean, you have a major problem with, you know, drug-related violence, so that you could maybe focus on even more, I guess, if you're not worried.
You want me to tell you the truth about who's in prison?
Yes.
Sure.
Robbers. People who rob, people who kill. Drug cartel people. They don't end up in prison. They end up dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the people
That's how it works.
Yeah.
And the people who kill them, they will be killed eventually.
Yeah.
You don't have a cartel guy inside prison, because they'll kill them inside too by the different rivalries and the mafias. So
that's why we have more prisoners in America. Because you take it.
Yeah, but we don't I never heard of, this guy used to work for El Chapo. They're in for life. Of course not. They go in, they get killed. They get whacked by the other rival group.
And El Chapo used to be in Turner's neighborhood in jail.
But now he's over there. He's with you guys. He's your neighbor.
And his wife just got arrested, I saw, right? In America, she was like trying to import like meth and a few other drugs at the airport, and somehow she didn't realize that if she's El Chapo's wife, they might be looking at her. They might look at her bags.
Oh, man, that really was being stupid.
Yeah.
She was not being bothered, why did she even go up there?
I don't know. I was trying to help him out. Still, little guys are good in bed, so you know.
So the prisoners weren't. This won't, I don't know, the stuff you read, it says like, oh, this will reduce arrests by a certain amount. This will reduce prisoners by a certain amount. It's all BS. Nah.
All fake news.
No, I mean, let's be honest. I live in Mexico. I know how it is.
That's why we have you on. That's why we have this show. So we don't have to pay attention to the news.
People in prison in Mexico is because they rob, they steal, or they kill. But it's not about drug related. Believe me.
Wow.
Because if you're part of a drug organization, they have the best lawyers. So that person will never step a foot in prison. They got all the money. They got all the connections.
So,
but there's nobody in jail for just like smoking weed in public. And in the
that's
past.
Exactly. That's the bad thing about Mexico. There are people who will be paying a 20-year term because they stole like an apple. Or they stole something from a supermarket. But the guys who actually killed people are walking free on the streets. That's why it's so crazy. Because they didn't have money for representation. They didn't have money for a good lawyer. Mm. There are some people in there that just rob food to eat or to feed their family. And they throw them into jail for many years.
So this,
the law is really stupid.
So it sounds like this bill doesn't change much.
Nah, not at all. Everything is going to be... back to normal business as usual.
We're gonna have clubs. It'll add a smoke a cannabis.
Exactly.
Club. So that's a cannabis club. People will be happier about
people
all the
will be happier.
they'll be pissed off about it. They'll be more mellow. They're like, I can't believe these people are running around free, but at least I get high. So
exactly. They will be easier to convince. Let's put it that way.
Will this be good for the economy?
It won't affect it either. Because it's listen, yeah, guys.
I believe you. I believe you, yeah.
But they collect tax revenue now? Like the Colorado.
How much money can a pothead bring to the table? Really?
Oh, weed.
Well, you can tax.
Yeah, but I think they tax the sodas and all the junk food more than they will tax marijuana. Watch.
Do you have special taxes on sodas and junk food?
Oh, yeah. There was a campaign where Mexico, obviously, as you know, is the second largest obesity population in the world.
Next to us. Are we number one?
Of course.
You guys are number one.
Yeah.
Still.
Number one.
And they passed this bill where every soda has to have like a special sticker where it says, you're about to drink 7,000 calories and this has so much sugar. This is not good for you. And when they passed this bill, the normal tax that you used to pay for those products now is twice as much. So if you want to drink a soda, you're paying for your own demise.
You know, I was going to advertise Mexico as a libertarian paradise based on what you told me earlier, but this is not.
This is any state.
We don't like that. We want to drink our soda and not have anybody tell us how many calories are in it or anything.
No, and it's in big letters in the front of it. It's not like on the back like you guys have on every product. Yeah. It's in the front of the product. It's a big thing. So, yeah, people will end up paying more for a Coke, for a drinkable Coke, than for a joint.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, it's local.
Tax-wise.
Yeah.
So was there – who contributes to – like in the U.S., if you want to get something done, and if you want to get a bill passed and you're just a regular citizen, you put a bunch of money together and you give it to senators, and that way they'll vote for you. Was this happening in Mexico for this marijuana law?
Yeah. You remember, you went to the House of Chambers. I'm sorry, the Chamber of Deputies. That's where they were camping outside.
Yes.
And one deputy thought, this guy makes sense. Let me bring it up. Let me share that info with all my colleagues inside. And they all fast tracked it. Like, yeah, of course. Of course they're right. Because I used to smoke marijuana. So yeah, let's pass this bill.
So you think the reason why they passed it is because they all like to smoke?
Exactly. You don't pass a bill that fast unless you like it.
Some things are simple, Kaplan.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that was the easiest propaganda I have ever seen in my life. A 12 group of people camping outside a major politic government area, and they told them, listen, guys, we want to have, free marijuana.
How did they get to the Supreme Court to take their case, though? Isn't there like a process where you...
Yeah, he goes from the Chamber of Deputies, they pass the bill, and then they take it to the Senate. And then once the Senate has it, it goes directly to... AMLO, to the president. But
the Supreme Court was 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago.
I know, but you're saying the people camping out, like, I guess I'm surprised that even worked. I can't, it's kind of...
It's they should do a movie about those 12 guys, because
12 imagine, changed the world.
It was someone's idea. It was just one guy.
Right. It was some one guy's stoned idea. He's like,
we should go to Mexico City, camp outside.
Yeah.
Let them know what we feel. And from there, it went big. It went national.
Now, what about changing topics here? But Lozoya, who we talked about in our first episode with you, he was the prime minister of PAM. I mean, not prime minister. What am I saying? President of a company, an oil company in Mexico.
Uh-huh. Pemex.
Pemex. That's who it is. He bribed, or he took $10.5 million in bribes, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Last time we talked to you, they were looking for him to arrest him. Whatever happened with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, he's. Remember I told you he came into the country and he was the whistleblower for many people that fell under the radar?
Yes.
He's still on his own. He's not in prison. He's on his own. And the actual persons that got in trouble were his mother and his sister for laundering so much money.
He turned them in?
No, but they followed the trail and all the money went to different accounts from the mom and the sister.
And so he didn't get in trouble. He didn't get in trouble at all.
He got a little bit of trouble. And eventually the mother and the sister also got in a little bit of trouble. They had to return a lot of the money. But still, man, whatever Lozoya was getting as a bribe, like $10 million, yeah, it was nothing compared to the almost $300 million his mom and sister had on the on different accounts.
Ah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money.
And I also read that he gained favor with AMLO because he gave up dirt on AMLO's political rivals.
Exactly. Yeah. So he you know, he got away. He got away and the family got away. And let me be honest with you, they still kept a lot of the money because they couldn't prove where it came from and they couldn't prove that it was actually theirs. So when the money's in on a limbo like that, government doesn't take it.
And is that kind of what
even
you
in Mexico?
Is that what you expected would happen all along? He'd get away?
Of course.
Yeah.
Because AMLO is on his side now. I mean, he's won AMLO fair and square. I'll give you these many politicians, and you give me freedom. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works. There's lots of, I mean, it's just corruption, everyone, as we discussed last time. So
it is corruption.
That's just so the way what about, should we get into these Jewish weddings you've been minister?
Oh, yeah.
Such a change of subject.
We've got a lot. Well, we have a lot of Jewish friends.
We go from weed to corruption to, now let's think about Jewish weddings.
I mean, it's all kind of tied together.
Man, you guys are, you ought to be comedians. I started, you have a career in comedy.
Yeah, man.
You could be a comedian, Turner.
I could be a comedian. People tell me that. I'm going to try it out one day.
You could stand up.
You have what it takes.
Kaplan, I'm going to let you take the reins here because we've seen online that Minister Marco has been outside of celebrity weddings, or maybe these are celebrity Jewish weddings, but he's been doing Jewish weddings as well. Kaplan, go ahead.
Yeah. Are you well versed in the, like, how Jewish are these weddings? I guess is my first question. Like,
well, 100% like, Jewish. 100%. Listen, let me put it this way. I had to learn Hebrew in order for me to perform these weddings. And every time I finish my Jewish weddings, let me tell you why I do with Jewish weddings. Yeah. In Cabo, there used to be a rabbi long time ago. And as you know, obviously, you cannot marry another faith within the Jewish community. It has to be a Jewish. But somehow a lot of people were getting interfaith weddings where one guy is Catholic, she's Jewish, he's Jewish, they're Christian, or they're other different faiths.
Going to hell.
So exactly. So
I can already see the kids eating bacon.
I know. So the rabbi that was here, he didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
That's when I was getting called a lot. Like, yes, hey, guys, Marco, we have this couple. He's Jewish. She's Catholic, but they want to have interfaith weddings. What can you do? So that's when I went to study everything about the Jewish weddings. And I learned every single ritual in Hebrew. And I learned everything there is to know about the Jewish weddings. Some of my Jewish couples that I've married in the past, they say, you speak better Hebrew than I do, and I've been going to Sunday school for the longest time.
How did you learn Hebrew?
I have friends from Israel who helped me perfect the pronunciation. I know how to read it. Yes. Well, of course, because Mexicans use it a lot. So for a Mexican to speak Hebrew, it's very simple.
Look at that.
Very simple.
And you guys do the whole, like, the circling thing? Do these people do that?
I'll tell you. Listen, the seven circles around the
seven
groom
circles,
the
beginning.
Yeah, there he goes. And not only that, Kaplan, you've probably seen Jewish weddings, real Jewish weddings.
I've been in one. I'm married.
Kaplan's had a Jewish wedding.
Well, listen, 90% of the rabbis don't explain the meaning of the huppah.
They don't know anything. Not like Minister Marco.
I explain the meaning of the huppah of each element. Every single pillar of the huppah, of the four pillars, has a meaning. The ceiling, the ground, it has a meaning when it comes to weddings. And not everybody explains it. And I explain
you definitely
it
know it better
in
than I do
Hebrew.
At this point.
Wait, this is good. This is good. Kaplan, I'm going to ask Kaplan first. Kaplan,
try to remember.
Because I don't know. What is a huppah, Kaplan?
Well, huppah is the covering. At every Jewish wedding, there's that, like, it's like this four ends, and it's like almost like a tent, kind of like you have it to like be a under canopy. It. A canopy, yeah. But I don't remember what it symbolizes or anything.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Mr. Like Marco?
What does it symbolize? It's a
well, Mr. Listen, Marco for the steal.
I'll just give you 2 meanings, okay?
Okay.
The first pillar represents love, okay? The second pillar represents faith. The third pillar represents wisdom. Okay?
Kaplan, wait. Kaplan, what's the fourth faith. Pillar, Kaplan?
Wait, faith, family? No.
Nah.
The Bible. The Bible.
The Sixers.
The Torah. The Torah.
Listen. Baruch atah inahava.
The Torah.
Bless,
did you
bless
say the
you.
Bible?
Baruch atah in britat.
He's just speaking mumble jumble now. He's making up words.
No. It is true. I'm speaking it, and people who watch this.
This is embarrassing.
I'm going to renew my vows. This is like a great audition. I wanted to renew my vows with my wife, Randy, in Mexico this whole time.
Let's do
it. We're hiring you to do it.
Come by, man. I'll do it. And listen, okay, then after you do the seven, after the bride does the seven circles around the groom, I explain the meaning of getting married on the chuppah. Then we do the blessing of the wine. Then we do the vows. Then we do the rings. And then we do the Sheva Brachot, which is the seven blessings of the wedding. And I do it in Hebrew, my friend.
And the seven circles thing, it's like a lot of these Jewish weddings, the man does it too, because they want to be like liberal.
Exactly. They want to do it. They want to do
but,
it.
But we did. I think we did half and half. I don't remember. But it's a circle.
I always like to couples to do one and then one back. So she does one and he does another one. That way you have, you're the same. You're not just letting your wife be the one.
You know, when we were getting married, we were looking, we didn't have a rabbi. We had this problem because my wife's family didn't have a synagogue at the time. And I was looking all over.
Between synagogues.
They were between synagogues. That's how it works. It's like if they didn't pay the fee, you don't have a rabbi. And we got recommended this guy. He was like the best young rabbi in Boston. It was like every Jewish mom wanted to like shtup this guy. He was like Rabbi McDreamy, I called him. He was doing all this like new age stuff. I was no, I don't want this guy. And I found a guy with a beard and he had some good jokes, so I liked him. But I could see it. You've got jokes. You've got it down. You're definitely.
He's been on Netflix.
And I make a lot of jokes in my wedding, man.
You got a standing ovation recently at one of these weddings.
Yeah, my last wedding was at the Cape, which is one of the biggest resorts in town, one of the hippest, one of the coolest resorts in town. And as I was walking down, 120 people, man, they just got up and like got a standing ovation from the guest. And I was like, thank you. That's my time for now. My name is Minister Marco.
They give me the light in the back.
Yeah, that was the light for me. That was the end of it.
Turner wouldn't want to be upstaged at his wedding by a comedic.
No, you don't give a speech at your own wedding. I wouldn't want to be upstaged where I'm best man at a wedding. That's
a good point. You're right. If you're best man, you don't want the rabbi or the minister to be funny because you got to bring the house down.
Not funnier than you.
Your own wedding.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man. I'll tell you, the best weddings that I do are Jewish because they do get comedy. They get it.
Yes.
They get it. And I'll tell you, and that's my weddings, my Jewish weddings, are more like a stand-up act.
That's
because
great.
I do crazy stuff, man. I do stuff nobody does. For example, right in the middle of the ceremony, right before the vows, when everything is so tense, it's so quiet, I come up with crazy shit like, okay, well, now we have a surprise for you guys. You didn't know this. I was just requested this last minute. But we have someone here who's very talented and wrote a poem for you guys. And this person is so good at singing that this poem was turned into a song. And it's going to be sung a cappella, which is one of the toughest things to do. And I just throw in the best man. He doesn't know he's coming. And I go, well, let's give a big round of applause to the best man. And the best man doesn't know what he's doing. So he's shitting bricks. Right
shitting
there.
His pants. Yeah.
And the faces he makes are fantastic. Everybody's just laughing at the reaction, and of course no one knows this but me.
That's
the bride and the groom don't know that, so I do crazy stuff like that to break in, you know, to loosen up the moment.
Well, I got a good idea for next wedding. You go, everybody look under your chairs, and then there's a joint. You put a joint under every single person's
chair. You can make it a club.
I did that once. I said, everybody, there's a special price. And you know, Jewish, they will go for anything for money. So
yes, I do.
No, and tell you what, people started looking under the chairs. And I said, well, I was just joking. We needed those chairs clean from the bottom because they were very dirty. Thank you, guys. So
Minister Marco's marijuana.
Oh my gosh. Minister Marco.
Last thing is that in New York, it's very hard because there's like different rules for like dancing, the horror and everything. So we come down to you guys. Everyone should just go to Mexico for weddings, I'm trying to say. They should come to you.
You know what? They took me to New York. Yeah. They took me to New York to do a wedding, a Jewish wedding.
Recently?
About 5 years ago. And I did I did it at the Essex House, W. Merritt.
Yeah.
Right in front of Central Park. Yeah, beautiful.
I bet they had little hot dogs there.
No. They flew me there because they couldn't find a rabbi or a minister who spoke Hebrew, Spanish, and English. Here comes Minister Marco. And I did a wedding there because of that.
That's a great combo.
Minister Marco, everybody.
And I ended up doing comedy up there with you guys.
That's it. And you got to do it when you come back, too.
I will.
That's the episode, everybody. Thank you so much, Minister Marco. Marijuana is now legal in Mexico, but nothing changes. That's what we learned today.
That's what we learned. Nothing changes.
It's going to be the same. Also, if you go to Cabo San Lucas, look up Minister Marco. Get married. Renew your vows with Minister Marco. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
My daughter's 7, when 20 years from now, when she's allowed to get married, 30, coming to you. We're coming down to Mexico. And in the meantime, let's get lost.
Get lost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.